All right, today let's turn to Genesis chapter 18, okay? Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to look at one man. His name is Abraham. Let's stand as we just read chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. And we're going to look at the leadership of the father, in your family. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17 to 19. I'll read 17, you read 18, and then we'll read 19 together, all right? Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, the Bible reads, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Verse 18.
"Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him."
Verse 19 together. "For I know him, that he shall command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." That's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you that all of us can come. We thank you for health. I know many of our beloved brethren are sick with the flu and fever, and some have to rest at home. I pray, Lord, you bless them richly and also raise them up quickly, Lord. There's so many things that life that we need to do. And so, Lord, I pray you give them that time to rest. And even in that time of rest, Lord, we know that sometimes we have to rest so that we can actually hear your voice a bit better. And so, Lord, I pray you grant to these brethren the time to hear your word. So, Lord, right now, as we open your word, as we study it, as we understand it, and then apply it, we pray that you open our hearts in obedience to you first. That, God, we know that only the Holy Spirit can instruct us, and so we ask you to take control of the entire session, Lord, that our hearts will be open to you first of all. As you hear your word, every Christian will be resolved to do the right thing, following the example of the people in the Bible that you've given to us. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. If there's someone here who have never trusted Christ, I pray you speak to them, that they'll come, Lord, to a saving knowledge of Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, we're looking at the leadership of the father. I know I want us to, before we, I won't go into it, to say that as much as the Bible teaches by example the leadership of the father, okay, I was just talking to someone this week and he's saying something very interesting. He says, we all have expectations. Okay, in any relationship there's expectations. But he said, he's not a Christian, he said, expectations comes from the selfish man. I was looking at him and said, then I tried to explain a little bit about, no, I know sometimes there are certain expectations, they are right. And he went on to say, as a non-believer, he said that, no, Pastor Johnny, that's not expectation. That's standard. That's standard. That's something that is expected. Or rather, that's something that is raised as a standard of behavior between the two people. I say, okay, that's a good way, because that's how he framed it, so that certain expectations in certain things actually create friction. All right, so that's interesting, and I thought, okay, okay. And so right now we want to look at what is God's standards in the leadership of the father. And remember, because this one, once we preach this, you know, every wife will look at the husband and say, you better follow this, or something like that. All right? We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying for each other. All right? As much as God has his principles and rules for us to follow so that we can be blessed, because of our flesh and weaknesses, sometimes we fall. We need to be praying for encouraging one another. All right? So as we look at Abraham today, we pray that the whole family will be thinking about this. As children, you say, how can I pray for my dad? As wife, how can I support my husband? And as dad, how can I live the principle of God? Okay, let me begin by saying God has a will for every family. Okay, looking at the example of Abraham, if you look at the life of Abraham, notice what he says in Genesis chapter 18, verse 18. Or rather, I read in 17. "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" Question for you. What is the thing that God is going to do? Shall I hide from Abraham? What's the thing that I shall do? What is he referring to? What was God going to do? If you look in the context, he was, huh? He was going to bless Abraham. But more than that, what he was going to do in the next chapter? He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why is it so important for Abraham to know? Lot is there. Part of his family is in Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's an interesting thing. But you know what? The basis of how God said it is written. He says, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot is in there. That's part. He's the uncle of Lot. And it's his own family that's inside. Okay? But God also said in verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation, great mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed by him. I mean, he's the chosen one. He's the family, and his family is inside Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, later on, he went on to expound why he will use them. But the second point is this. His will is to use each family for his purpose, for the good of man. Okay, that's in verse 18, that Abraham will be surely be a great nation, and all nations of the earth shall be blessed through him. That's a big thing for us to understand. But did you know that every family God wants to use to bless others? How many of you have families that are living beside us who are not Christians? Yeah, we all have, right? Or maybe the neighbors beside us, our colleagues. No, God wants to use us to be able to reach them with the love of Christ. God didn't save us so that we can be isolationists and we just kind of live our own life. God wants us to influence other people so that other people can be blessed. Okay? Example, Jacob's family. Jacob, Israel. God prepared the preparation of nation to take the promised land. The whole of Israel will take the promised land. You know what's so important with the promised land? The Messiah is going to come through that. Okay? Then there is Joshua's family. To take the promised land. Okay? The first one was to prepare. Jacob's family to prepare. They went into Egypt. And in Egypt, God prepared it. You know, when Jacob or Israel's family, the 12 tribes went, they were only 72 people. When they came out, how many people were there? 2 million. You know why? God used a time of 400 years to make Israel into a nation so that the next part of his plan is to go into the promised land to conquer it. You can't conquer a whole promised land with 70 people. And God took 400 years to build the nation and they became strong and God let them in, all right? But he used Joshua's family. Joshua is Joshua, the general, okay, in the book of Joshua, to lead the family into the promised land to take it. And then in the New Testament, there's Aquila and Priscilla. Now, how many of you know Aquila and Priscilla? Aquila and Priscilla were just two normal church members. But God used this husband and wife team to strengthen one of the evangelists during that time, Apollos. Apollos wasn't even a Christian. Okay, he was preaching, but he only knew the baptism of John. And Aquila and Priscilla took him aside in friendship and love to instruct him. And then when Apollos realized, hey, I'm missing this big part about Jesus. And after that, the Bible says he continued to preach the word, but he was mightier because he knew the grace of God. And he was able to preach, and many people trusted Christ. And now we come back to Abraham. The Bible says Abraham, God was going to use for his purpose to bless us. Do you realize we are here today? If you're a Christian, it's because of Abraham's obedience. Think about that. It's because of Abraham's obedience. Okay? In this context, when God chooses a man to share his secrets with, he chose to reveal the secret of the coming destruction to Abraham. Okay? And the reason why God chose Abraham was how he led his family. Think about that. Because in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, the Bible says, 17 verse, shall I hide from Abraham the thing which I do? And then you go to verse 19, because I know him and he will command his house after him. Now it's interesting because if you look at the context, that was God's reason for revealing to Abraham that secret. Seeing that Abraham will be a blessing to the nations, and then the reason for God's choice of Abraham was because of how he will lead his family. And that's something for us to reflect upon as Christians. Okay? For men who will be fathers next time, if you're going to be, you're not married, you want to be married, this is very important for you. Because I can tell you, over the years I've learned as a Christian, God doesn't just look at one part of your life. He looks at the trend of your Christian life. And how you're leading, how you're growing, and how God, and as a result, how God will use your life. Okay? Now, how does a father lead the home? I'll just share with you three quick principles in the leadership of the home from here. Just 4 points. Number one, the first one, notice in Genesis 18 and verse 19, which is our text. The first point is this father knows God in salvation. Notice what God says firstly, for I know him. Now in the context of that, it just shows that God understands Abraham as a person. He knows him in his entirety. Okay? This knowledge came from God knowing Abraham's following of God. In Genesis chapter 12 verse 4, Abraham actually has a trend of following God already. Genesis chapter 12 verse 4, Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken unto him, and Lord went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. In Genesis 12, it's important because this is the first time Abraham heard the call of God. First time. And he was in a pagan land. He wasn't even, he had no, not, during that time, remember, there was no Old Testament. There was no, God spoke clearly. He sometimes spoke audibly. Sometimes he spoke in angels coming. He spoke in visions. He can speak in different ways. But to Abraham, God spoke to him. And Abraham apparently heard. But the important principle here in Genesis 12, 4, after Abraham heard God's voice, he obeyed. And so God realized, okay, this person, okay, Genesis 12, 4, he obeys what I say. Notice in Genesis 15, 6, all right, which is in your... if you want to turn to the Bible, you can, but also it's printed there. This knowledge of God about Abraham came from Abraham's faith in God. First it was God's, Abraham's following, now it's Abraham's own faith. The Bible says, Genesis 15, 6, and he believed in the Lord. Abraham believed in the Lord. He placed faith in what God says. And he accounted to him. God accounted, that means God says, okay, I approve of you, to him for righteousness. Here, it has the meaning that God knows Abraham personally. He knows personally. You know, many people claim to be Christians today. many people will say, oh, how many of you know Saddam Hussein? You know Saddam Hussein. Okay, Audrey says he knows Saddam Hussein. Anyone else know Saddam Hussein? You know, right? Okay. If you got into trouble and caught Saddam Hussein, will he help you? If you get into trouble, hey, Saddam Hussein, I need a few nuclear weapons from you. Would he help you? Oh, no. Saddam Hussein is no longer around. Many of us know people, but when we call him, when we're in trouble, I don't think he will help us. How many of you know? Many of them are Ong Yi Keng and all these people. We all know them, right? Now, when you write a letter to them, usually it doesn't get to them. Right? It gets to his secretary and everyone else. But it doesn't get to him. Why? Because he doesn't... You can't pick up the phone and call, hey, so-and-so MP. You can't call him for his first name. First name is American. You can't call him for his last name is Singaporean, you know. You can't. Because why? He doesn't know you. Right? Given in a crowd of 200 people, right? Just give an illustration. Sometimes when we give a talk, we never know who is who. Everyone can claim to know, oh, I know this particular speaker who came. Okay, I know his name, I know. But there is no relationship with the speaker. However, when one of the audience comes and introduces himself or herself, and then asks the relevant question, the speaker can then claim to know that individual. Example, let's say in the crowd 2,000, the speaker may say certain things, and the people in the crowd say, oh, I know this speaker, I know his name, he came to talk about this. But you know, only the person who comes up to the speaker and says, hey, my name is so-and-so, and hey, you know, I had this problem. And then the speaker begins to interact. And the speaker says, hey, what's your name? And they begin to say, come, let's a relationship has been developed. Does that make sense? That's what it means. In this whole world, many people know about Jesus, But very few people will go up to him and say, I need salvation from you. And when Abraham said, I know him, it means there was a personal relationship between this Abraham father, Father Abraham, and God. That God actually says, I know him. It's one thing to know that person, quite another person for that person to say, I know him. Does that make sense? It's very important for us that many people claim to know Christ, but we need to be clear that he knows it. Now, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, in his word, we can be sure of our salvation. But it's very important for us. There was one wonderful testimony about this little boy. It was this preacher I was hearing many years ago. And after the service, he was walking past the parking lot. And it was as he was walking past the parking lot, then later on he felt someone kind of pulling his pants. As he was pulling his pants, there was this 7-year-old boy, kind of very dirty looking. This is in America, so I know the evangelists. Pulling his pants, and the little boy, and he looked down, evangelist looked down, the little boy looked up, okay, kind of dirty and all that. And the boy looked at the evangelist and said, Mister, does God love me too? And the evangelist said, sure he does. And he took the little boy to the side and led the boy to Christ. You know, the evangelist was preaching in the big crowd. But this little boy who acknowledged God and said, Mister, does God love me too? Had a personal relationship with Christ after he was led to Christ. You know, God knows him because God knows us because we have put our faith in Christ. Now, if you're not a Christian today, you can't lead your family right if you have never believed in the Lord Jesus, put your faith in Christ. I was sharing with you this man I was talking to. It's interesting, everything I told him about Christ, he agreed. But he's not a Christian. And he will tell you, I'm not a Christian. I agree with you totally. But I'm not a Christian. I have not put my faith in Christ. And he's still struggling with that. So the first thing, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. The first thing, we must, in order to lead our family the right way according to the Bible, we must know God in salvation. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, a very important, scary, I believe, passage of scripture that reminds us, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, the Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You know what? It presupposes that at the day of judgment, there will be many people who say, Lord, I know you. Lord, I know you. Lord, I know you. Lord, come on. Lord, Lord, I know you. But Jesus says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But I'm thankful the Bible is always clear. Because the Bible says, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. So God does say that there are many people who say they are Christians, but God says no. But he actually qualifies who are the ones that are going to heaven. Verse 22. Many will say to me that, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? You know what are they saying? God, I have done all these good works for you. Why don't you know me? I have done all these things for you. Why don't you know me? I mean, I prophesy in your name, no. I prophesy in your name. I even cast out devils in your name. Why don't you know me? You know what's the will of the Father? The will of the Father, number one, is to admit you're a sinner on your way to hell. Knowing that only Jesus Christ can save you. Repenting from your sin and turning to Christ in faith. And putting your faith in Christ. That's the will of the Father. John chapter 8, verse 24. This is the work of him that we believe on him and he had sent. God is not interested. God is not interested in our works, what we do, when we have no faith in Christ and not willing to live after him. There are many people who say, I'm a Christian. They come to church. But our lives are very different at home and in church. The belief system is very different. God wants us to learn to put our faith in Christ first. Because if you do not put your faith in Christ, fathers, leading your family, you do not have the help of God. All you can do is depend on what you think and what the world says and in your own strength. And I think many fathers are frustrated and angry. Or many fathers get frustrated. Many mothers get frustrated as a result. And guess what? Many children get frustrated as a result too. Number one, you need to know God as your personal Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In the final judgment day, there will be people who claim to know God, but actually you knew about God, but never knew Him personally. When was the last time you had answers to prayer? When was the last time that God spoke to you and encouraged you through His Word? When the last time you took out the Bible and you knew that God was speaking to me there? I'm not talking about this mystical relationship. I'm talking about when you open your Word and you live your life, you can see that as you walk with God, God is walking with you. Only, as pastor, I can only tell you, you have to ensure that it happens. I can't make that happen for you. It's the Holy Spirit's job. As you are willing to say, God, that's why in my life I know about you. I've been trying to live my own life. But Lord, if what pastor says is true, then God, I don't really know you, and I want to. And to surrender, humble ourselves there. When you hear His Word, and you know personally that you have sinned against Him, you know that He died on the cross to pay for your sin, and you repent from your sin. That means, in the past, I used to be proud, I used to be easily angered and get very irritated at people, but after I become a Christian and say, Lord, I cannot do that. It's hurting my wife, it's hurting my children, it's hurting my family, it's hurting my colleagues, it's hurting my employees. God, my anger is so bad. Example, I'm just giving an example. I say, Lord, that's wrong. I repent of that. Lord, forgive me. It's not just anger. It could be anything. The whole area of sin, that we are sinners. And we need to repent of that and then put our faith in Christ. And that's when your new life starts. All right? This is vital because since God knows us, it presupposes a relationship. It all starts there. The leadership of a father starts with a relationship with God. Okay, that's the first point. Number two, in Genesis 17, chapter 18 again, verse 19. God actually gave the reason why He chose Abraham. Point number two, because He is spiritually responsible. Okay, He says, for I know Him that He will command His children and His household after Him. Jehovah God, the true God, says, I know Abraham. I know he has a relationship with me. I understand his heart. I know that Abraham will command his children, not suggest to his children, not give options to his children. He will command his children. He will command his children and his household after him. When someone commands, it implies that he's in charge and he is telling the instructions. Abraham is responsible for the people living in his house and not just his children, but for all the servants. The Bible says, when Lot was in trouble, guess what? Abraham armed his trained servants. And his trained servants, 300 of them, 318 of them, went after and saved Lot out of problems. Okay? And Lot was captured, he was a hostage. And Abraham, interesting, the Bible actually says, Abraham was his nephew in the normal relationships. But when Lot was in trouble, Lot was a nephew of Abraham. Sorry, I think I mentioned wrong. Lot was the nephew, okay? When he had trouble, but when Lot was captured, Lot became his brother. And if you read that, it's really interesting because the Bible called Abraham calls Lot his brother. Now, brother is closer than a cousin or niece. So, in other words, Abraham treated Lot very close when he's in trouble. In other words, he was going all out. And guess what? He armed his servants, 318 of them, to go and rescue Lot. His servants listened to him. You know, Abraham trained his servants so well that his servants could even find a wife for his son. Okay? Now, I want to notice how is Abraham spiritually responsible. Number one, he will command his children and his household after him. The key word is after him. Now what does that mean, after him? In other words, Abraham, as the father, sets the example. A lot of fathers, I fail. Sometimes I'm not a good example. But the Bible says Abraham commands his children and his household after him. In other words, the Bible says in the leading of his household, Abraham sets the example. That's what it means to be after him. Abraham was clear that he was taking charge of his family and ensuring that they were following after Jehovah God. Now, Abraham, after we talk about it, but you know, let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, up to this time, we have to understand Abraham didn't have the Word of God. Whatever he knew of God was his interactions with God. But up to now, God has said things like, I'm your reward, okay? I'm the one who will bless you, okay? And so in Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is what Moses wrote. But I believe we can use that because it has relationship with the God of Israel, which Abraham believed in. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 6, the first thing we need to understand from this, it was written to all the heads of the entire nation of Israel. That means the fathers. The fathers. Okay? And the leaders, which are the men and the fathers, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. Then thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son. Notice, to the fathers, God, through Moses, said, you are going to tell this to the entire nation of Israel, so that they can teach their son and their son's sons. Okay, fathers who are right now fathers, you're also responsible for the faith of your grandchildren. Not that you interfere with, of course, that there's some propriety between if your children get married, you need to give them the responsibility of taking care of their children. But you need to teach them as they come to you. You know, grandparents like to, is this thing that grandparents like to pamper their children, our grandchildren, right? We need to be very careful with that, okay? The main thing is that the grandfather actually has a responsibility to instruct in the faith of Jehovah in those days. To us as Christians today, the grandfather, if you're a grandfather, how many grandfathers here? We've got grandmothers, but grandfathers, we are responsible to instruct the faith of our children. That's what Moses said, okay? So that you can fear the Lord thy God to keep his statutes, okay? Let's look at verse 4. Hear therefore, O Israel, observe to do it that it may be well with thee, that he might increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. If you will hear God's word and do it, it will be well with you. Do you want a well life? You want a kind of peaceful, so-called peaceful life? You know what? Obey God. No, fathers, that needs to be our responsibility. That's why Abraham was there. Abraham didn't have the benefit of the Old Testament scriptures. But in his heart, he has already believed God. Genesis 15:6, okay? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, all thy soul, all thy might, and this word shall I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And that's the key, fathers. When we are spiritually training our children, God's word mustn't be in the book. God's word mustn't be in the internet. God's word must be in the heart. And I'll go as far as to say, it mustn't just be a theological understanding of the teachings of God. It must be a heartfelt understanding of the teachings of God. That it influences your entire life. Because what is not important to you, fathers, is not important to your children. I say again, what is not important to you is not important to your... But what is important to you will be important to your children. It says, how many of you have seen... children smoke because their father smoked. Of course, now there's a lot of changes, okay? But generally, children take after their fathers. Generally. Now, why is it that God says, Abraham, I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, after his example? No, fathers, we really need God's help, don't we? Because we are so inconsistent sometimes. Sometimes we fail. That's normal. Abraham failed after they talk about that. But you know, the key thing, like it or not, fathers, children will follow our example. If our goal in life is to get our children a good job, the children will follow that. You know what? Your children will take that instruction and teach it to the next generation. But if your heart, you said, son, do your best in this world. But you know what? I'd like to see you in heaven. The faith of Christ is more important. And then through your life, whenever there's a crisis, you pray. Whenever someone is sad, you will comfort with the comfort of Christ. You don't just make him feel good. You teach him what is right, following God. When your children stumble, when people hurt your children, you teach your children, you know, just as Christ forgives you, you need to learn to forgive. Your children will grow up with a mental picture of who God is because you put it there. I've learned, I've got four children, I've got 20 years of parenting, I realize one thing, if you're not going to input the Word of God from the beginning, from day one, when your children come out from your wife's tummy, you got to input there. What we did was even before Jeremiah came out, we were already singing, Jesus loves me, this I know. So when he came out, it was just, they went to church 9 months before they were born. And it means the service. And we will sing as the, when my wife's tummy is growing big, we'll sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. So that the moment they come out into this world, they already know that Jesus loves me, this I know. And we know in studies that babies in the stomach can hear. Don't just play classics, that's good for their brain. Sing them the hymns of the faith. So when the moment they come out, they will have God's word already ingrained in them. And when they come to the place of understanding who God is, it is so easy for them to receive Christ. Does that make sense? We need, that's why fathers, if we make it a priority, it has to be in your heart. If it's not in your heart, it's not a priority. It was a priority with Abraham. It was a priority with Abraham. Okay? Number one, he'll command his children after his example, number one. Number two, he'll command his children. Children don't like that. The word command means to instruct. But can I say this? It doesn't mean to be dictators. You do as I say. I've seen how some parents command their children and they would have severe consequences if they don't. That's on the one hand. You know what? Children grow to be very stubborn and very rebellious and very hateful. But on the other hand, when you command your children, there's no consequences, your children will learn to disrespect authority. I know it's a hard lesson we all have learned. I'm still learning that. He will command his children. Because the Bible says, Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 and 10 to 10 says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Fathers, we must be very diligent to teach what is right and wrong from God's word. It's wrong to lie. You know, there are some fathers or mothers who say, hey, who? Auntie so-and-so. When the telephone comes, right? Tell her I'm not at home. And then the son said, oh, my mother tell me to tell you she's not at home. What are we doing? We're teaching them to lie. You know? I think all of us fail in some areas like this. And we sometimes present the wrong example to our children, don't we? But you know what? We need to teach children. Sometimes we need to apologize to our children if we as fathers and mothers are inconsistent with the word of God. Say, I'm sorry I shouldn't have said this to your mom. I'm sorry about that. And then your mom, and then firstly, your children will realize that parents are not perfect. And number two, parents are willing to come back to God. And when they fall, they say, hey, God can still receive me if I just confess my sin. You know, parents, after you confess your sin to your parent, for your children, you realize one thing? Your children are still young. Even though they're old, your children will respectfully still love you. Because God had already put that love in the family. The reason why families break up is because parents sometimes refuse to acknowledge their wrong. And children see that as hypocrisy. And children see that as, you say this, but you do that. And over time, the parents say, I want to know God, but I can't see him. That's why Abraham said, the Bible says that he will command his children after him. He will set the example. Abraham fell. Later on, I'll show you, Abraham fell. But when we command our children, number one, we need to present God's word. And we need to do God's word. And if we fail, we just confess our sin and tell our children that we're not perfect, but we're trying. And that's an important thing. Because in Deuteronomy 6, verse 7 to 10, I'm just looking at the practical aspects. But in the Bible, it's very clear. God says the standard that God puts is you are to teach your children from the time they wake up to the time they sleep. And even when you're in the car, you go to school, when they come back during lunchtime, dinner time, you're supposed to talk to them about God and show faith in action. In every decision we make, our children need to see God. Okay? He'll command his children, but also he'll also command his household. And interesting, not merely as Abraham concerned for his family, but God also says that this Abraham will also care enough to take care of his servants and instruct them. To the point that Genesis chapter 24, when Abraham wanted to find a wife for his son, Isaac, he actually asked his most trusted servant to go and look for the wife. And you know what the servant did when he was looking for the wife for Abraham? The servant prayed, "O God of my master Abraham." Guess where that came from? Abraham. God already knew Abraham is going to do that. He was also concerned for his servants under him. They all experienced the life of the example of the man of God. Father, I'm challenging you to give that to your children, to everyone around you. Okay? This one. Point number two, he will be spiritually responsible. And I believe all of our, I know many of you personally, as fathers, I don't know all, I mean the visitors and all that, especially for members of Ambassador, the fathers, I know you do your best. I'm praying that God will strengthen you for the work and continue to be responsible for your children so they will grow up, okay, in the will of God. Number three, the third point, his spiritual responsibility. Number three, he ensures practical obedience and faithfulness to God's ways. Notice in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. Now, this is something that blew my mind. I preached this many times. But then, the Bible says in Genesis 18, 19, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him. Follow his example. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. The word keep means to preserve. In other words, the way of Jehovah becomes the way of the children, becomes the way of the servants. There was a lifestyle that was transferred to the children, which is a life with God, and they shall keep. The word keep means to preserve, to garrison, to preserve it intact. Keep what? Intact. The way of the Lord. How God wants each other to behave with one another, how God expects us to work, how God expects us to pray, how God expects us to know him personally. And the servants and his children will know the way of the Lord. Okay? But it's interesting, therefore, you look at Exodus, and they always said the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Why? Because Abraham will keep the way of the Lord with his children. And all of them had faith in Christ, of God, Jehovah. They're not perfect. Okay, once again, the message comes again and again. But you know what? The God of Abraham was also the God of Isaac, was also the God of Jacob. They all had a personal interaction with God. The word keep means to preserve the way of the Lord. God's ways become their ways. How? Number one, by doing righteously. The Bible says, Genesis 18, 19, that they will keep the way of the Lord to do justice. The word justice has the idea of doing righteousness. What is right in God's eyes, they will do. And Abraham is very particular. Okay? Example, when Abraham asked Eliezer, the servant, to look for a wife, he told the servant very clearly, you are not to choose a wife from here. You have to go back to where I came from and choose it from my people. Because my people had already had the knowledge of God through my life. It was very clear. He's not supposed to have relationships with the Canaanites because why? They were pagan. And so Abraham was very clear on that. By doing righteously, number one, number two, by making right decisions based on the wisdom of Jehovah, not the ways of the Canaanite or from the land that Abraham came from. You put it in context, Abraham is teaching the servants, his children, to follow the ways of the Lord, not and doing it right, righteously, and making decisions not from what the Canaanite nations around them, they are people who sacrifice children to Moloch. Okay, they were Baal worship, they were paganistic people, and in the midst of the whole nation or the promised land that Abraham was in, he didn't compromise his faith. We today, fathers and mothers and families, we live in a very, very, very deeply sinful, God rejecting environment. And we need to be teaching our children to make the right decisions. And you know what? The point is, he ensures practical obedience and faithfulness to God's ways. Jehovah God makes an interesting and true prediction about the character of Abraham. As he commands the children and household, this people will keep the way of God. In other words, you will be able to see the outcomes of the training that you have given to your children. That is a very convicting statement. You know why? The children in your families are the products of the way we train our children. All of us, as far as God, we need your help. And I'm not perfect too. We're all not perfect. We're all in this together. We're training our children the way our children think, the way our children do things is actually the product of our training or a lack of it. Because children left to their own will always go the ways of this world. I say again, children left to their own will always go the ways of this world. We need to bring them to the way of the Lord. Why is it that our schools are filled with children at the age of 8, 9 years old? They will say OMG, they will use the F word, they will use all kinds of expletive in Hokkien, Indian, Malay, and all that. Why? And then your children come back and you scold them for saying all those words. They have picked it somewhere. One of my children said expletives when he was 3. You know where he got that from? The contractor downstairs when we were renovating. I didn't teach them. Parents, sometimes the environment we put them in. Can you see how we need to train them? Can I give you a very interesting principle that God gave us? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he saw, he will not depart from it. You know that means every child can be trained. You know what the ISIS does today? They train children to kill. And the children will kill without remorse. Agree? I mean, the kindergartens are ISIS training camps. I mean, based on the videos we see. They are trained to shoot live prisoners of war in the head and walk away smiling. Children can be trained to do anything. That's why we need to grab the opportunity when God gives us the children to train him so that all of our children will go to heaven, have their sins forgiven, and be useful to God. Amen? And I think this is so important. It all boils down to the leadership of the father. There needs to be a commander in charge. But the commander in charge must have the spirit and the love of the chief commander, our Lord Jesus Christ, in the home. And all of us need to follow that. When Abraham trains his children, let me just finish. As he commands the children, these people will keep the way of the Lord. In James chapter 2, verse 14, let's turn there. Some of you may have it there. I think it's printed out. People say that they are Christians. They come from Christians' homes. And James say in chapter 2, verse 14, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? understand the context of the Apostle James. He's not doubting people's salvation. He's saying there's a group of people who say they are Christians. And James says, fine. Prove it. Prove it. You say you're Christian, prove it. Where's your Bible reading? Where's your praying? Where's your fasting? Where's your concern for someone else? Where's your faithful church attendance? Where's your baptism? Where's your care for someone else? Where's your forgiveness? Where's your love? Where's your hatred of sin? In the context of James, it's just the Jewish church was very prejudiced against very poor people. And so James had to deal with them. So, okay, so you say you're free, I believe you. Show it by your compassion. Okay? In James chapter 2, verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. In other words, tell me you're a Christian, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Which is more convincing? I say I have faith, but I back it up with works. You say you have faith, you have no works. Which is more convincing? Faith with works. That's what James is saying. In other words, James said, don't make empty professions. He's not doubting the salvation of people. He's saying, if you say you're a Christian, then show it by your life. When Jehovah God says, I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, it was very obvious. 500 years later, the descendants of Abraham still praise to the God of his fathers. And they have a personal relationship. And Moses knew this Jehovah God personally. And God used him. Okay? Let me ask you, when your children grow up, this is going to be, will your children follow the ways of this world or the ways of God? When your children grow up, will they follow the ways of this world or keep the ways of God? Mothers, we need to make that decision. Mothers, we need to cooperate with our... You need to make that decision in your heart too, mothers, because I'm not saying here I have experienced mothers who don't go, who just don't like the direction of the dad. We need to be talking together. I know it's hard. I know the principles must be agreed upon and then working through how to work that out. But I know the key question is, will our children manifest their faith in the God that we believe in or the ways of this world? Well, God says, I know Johnny, he will teach his children to keep the ways of this world. Or will God say the other thing? Some say, Pastor, I don't think I can. I'm still imperfect. Can I say this? Abraham was imperfect. His children knows it because his children imitated his imperfection. You know what? God is not asking for perfection. But he's looking for fathers and mothers who will repent of their sin of neglect, if there is, of their children, and then cry out to him for help in leading their families. Listen to this. We all fail. But failures are not final, but fuel for future growth and learning with God. As long as you're in this life, as long as you have the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, failures are never final. Amen? Because there's always grace with God. There's always a U-turn. There's always repentance. There's always God saying, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. You know, God says, come, let's come to the negotiating table. What is your plea? Let me tell you, if you obey me, I'll bless you. Oh, that was in the Old Testament. You know what God says in the New? Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he will raise you up in due time. And I'm encouraging members and even visitors, come for Sunday Bible Hour. I'm going through a whole series on revival. If you truly want revival in your Christian life, we already talked about 5 points, it's in the internet, I'm sure. But listen to that. We need that revival in our hearts, okay? Failure is not final. And sometimes as fathers, we throw our hands in despair and say, I fail, I don't want to try. No, if you're a Christian, you say, I failed, but God, you won't fail, so I'm going to you for help. I'm getting my resources from you from now on. I'm sorry, I'm depending on my own finite resources, but God, you help me, all right? And so, firstly, to lead our families, we need to know God. In salvation, we must be spiritually responsible. Abraham ensured practical obedience and faithfulness of God's word. Now, that means that you don't just talk, you do. And sometimes you don't understand why you do it, you just do it because you've been taught to by someone who's spiritually responsible. Does that make sense? And sometimes we don't know why our commanders, those people in the army, why the commanders asked me to go there. And I think I share a very brief, very, very, very generally, we were told to do something in our NS, it's been disbanded already, something like totally illogical. We didn't know why, and the commanders were saying, sir, if we go in there, then we will die, you know. No water, no food, you expect us to go in and then attack, and then after that, what? We die. Until a commanding officer set us down and explained to us the whole scenario. You're not going to go in first. Our entire SAF will follow, will make sure the ground is totally safe before you go in. Then we realize, actually, the commander has already thought out the whole plan. You are just a small part. Does that make sense? And sometimes we want the whole plan. God says, you follow me where you should be. Now Abraham, you know that when God told Abraham to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, Abraham didn't know where he was going. No, there's a bad deal in that sense, but you know what? If God's in the deal, you got a good deal. If you will just learn to trust him. Finally, he is a man who will be blessed. Notice in Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, when we know God in salvation, when we are spiritually responsible, we ensure the practical obedience to God's word. The Bible says, fourthly, you will be a man who will be blessed. Genesis 18, 19 says, I know him. He will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. In other words, when you follow this, this happens. It's a spiritual principle. You know, as I was preparing the messages for revival, I realized one thing. God puts many conditions for prayer, for example. Okay, what are some conditions for answer to in order for God to answer prayer? What are some conditions? Sorry? Okay, fasting is one. Forgive your neighbors, yes. You cannot go to God and pray, ask God to answer your prayer if you didn't forgive someone. Yeah, what else? Sorry? No non-confessed sin. Okay, if you regard integrity in your heart, God will not hear you. Is it Psalm 66, verse 18? Anything else? Let's pray sincerely. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James chapter 5, verse 16. So God does put conditions. Dear friends, it's a very straightforward thing. When we obey God, in these conditions, the spiritual principles are embedded in our life. God answers our prayer. If we don't do that, God says, I can't hear you. God hasn't changed. God hasn't changed. As our parents would say, okay, if you do this, you'll be blessed. You won't lose your relationship with your Heavenly Father, but in the blessing of your life and moving forward, God does expect us to follow what He says. Because God's ways is best, not ours. Okay? And so here, in Genesis 18, 19, I say again, God says that because Abraham has a leadership of the father at home, he was spiritually responsible, training his children, so that I can bring on him what is supposed to be his. The blessing of eternal life. The blessing of eternal life for us, blessing of his nation. You know, one day we'll see Abraham in heaven. And we'll see all his 12 children in heaven. And we'll see everyone who has put faith in God, just as Abraham did, in heaven. Let me read a few verses. Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. The word faithfulness has the idea. Don't just say, oh, I'm faithful in this. God will actually break it down. Faithful in everything that God has said. Faithful, full of faith, full of confidence, full of trust, and someone whom God can trust as well. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. Why? Because he was a faithful man and feared God above many. Nehemiah, as in charge of the building of the temple, gave Hanani and Hananiah to be in charge of the palace. Why? The character was, they were faithful and feared God above all. Nehemiah chapter 7 verse 2, for those who are searching. So the condition of that choice of service that Nehemiah gave was because they feared God. They put God above all. In other words, they were very clear in the outcomes of their life. They put God first. They don't just talk, they do it. Psalm 101 verse 6, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land," God said, "that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me." Now there is actually a condition. You say, if you walk in a perfect way, the idea of perfect means in a mature following of the God, you're going to serve me. I'm going to give you that place of service that will honor me and bless you. Okay? And Proverbs 20 verse 7, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." The just man, the man who walks with God, walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. My prayer is for every dad listening to this, that your children will be blessed after you. Wouldn't that be great? That no, 10, 20 years from now, you see your daughter walking with God. She's not perfect. She'll never be until we go to heaven. But you know what? In her mind and thinking, "So, Dad, I'm not going to do that because it's wrong. Dad, I'm not going to smoke because you taught me it's wrong to smoke. Thank you for that, you know. Dishonor God because my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And you teach that, and the children say, 'I'm not going to do drugs.'" I shouldn't need the strength to say no to sin. When you're in a relationship, the girls will say, "Sorry, you want to touch me, get lost. I'm not going to go out with you anymore." You know, the value system is strongly entrenched, not in morals, but in Christ, in the principles of God's word. The world wants morality, the good man, without Jesus Christ. You can get that. Did you know that? You can actually be a moral man without Christ. There are many good men. Good as in charitable, they're kind, they're very nice, they're well self-controlled, but they're not saved. God wants men of Christian character. You need to be that. Dads, can I challenge you? Memorize this verse, Proverbs 27. "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." I'm praying that God will bless you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. I think many people are paying attention, but it's not me that will change their hearts. It's you. You alone. And Father, I pray that you will help us. We pray for all the fathers here, firstly, that they will know you personally as their Savior. The Lord, you'll put away what they think and what they believe and say, "What does Jesus say? I'm going to believe that." And I pray, Father, for their salvation. If there's one who have never known Christ, if they claim to know him, they may be in church for a long time, Lord. And Father, we're not exempted from that. Some of us might deceive ourselves. But yet, Lord, we are thankful for those who have trusted you. I pray, Lord, that you will increase their... Many of our fathers are spiritually responsible. Thank you for that, Lord. But God, that they will train their children in the way that you want them to. I believe with all my heart, Lord, they are trying and they're doing. Father, I pray this message will reinforce, will encourage, will challenge. Will say, "Yes, Lord, we're going to do that." That, Father, their families will be strong. And that, Lord, the blessings that you have promised them will come. Lord, thy word says in Proverbs 27, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." God, personally, I see no greater blessings than to see all our children following Jesus Christ and be on their way to heaven and influencing many people to come too. I pray, Father, for a revival in our hearts with regards to this truth. For eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask, is there anyone who say, "Pastor, pray for me. God has touched me in some way in this message." It's a general thing. Maybe God has spoken to you. Say, "Pastor, I just need you to pray that God will work in my heart." Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray. Amen. I see those hands. Amen. I see the hand. Amen. Okay, put it up, put it down. And then after that, just pray. In whatever way, just tell God, What's in your heart? You know him from the Bible. You know he cares for you. We say someone else. Pastor, pray for me. All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for all these people who have been so kind in their attention. Father, I pray you will revive our hearts. Father, I pray for every dad who have a desire to do the right thing, that Lord, you will help them to come to a clear knowledge of Jesus Christ, what you stand for, and then trusting your grace and your strength, deciding to do the right thing. Father, I pray your blessings upon everyone who hears this message. And I'm praying, Father, that every child will be blessed after every father who chooses to be just and follow you. So, Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we need you so much. But we thank you that you're always with us. So right now, Lord, we pray as we sing the closing hymn to the first and last stanza, I've decided to follow Jesus, I pray that you will continue to work in our hearts. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's